You know whose skin I envy? My dear best friend, J-Lo's. I have been a J-Lo superfan since day one. Every docuseries, every movie, I am all in. And I have had the pleasure of meeting Jennifer Lopez. And let me tell you what, she is aglow. And now I'm thinking about the wedding planner. So, Chris Manzo, we have a movie we need to rent. And yes, we need to talk about J-Lo's beauty regimen, the goddess of glow herself. She's just shared her secret 5 S's to ageless skin: serum, sunscreen, supplements, sleep, and sano. In Spanish, vivir sano means live a healthy, sane life. It's the foundation of her new J-Lo beauty line. P.S. Did I pronounce Spanish better or worse than Vicky Gumbelson at Ondelez? Get that J-Lo glow for yourself with J-Lo Beauty's Deluxe Kit, the one-and-done skincare solution clinically proven to tighten and lift for instant, long-lasting results. It gives your skin a smoother, visibly brighter look, improves the appearance of fine lines and wrinkles, and protects against UVAs and UVBs. My personal favorite is that blockbuster hydrating cream. I am obsessed with a cream that does not make my skin feel oily, which is why I'm obsessed with J-Lo's. I get that kind of dewy glow. So if you're tired of trying to crack your own skincare code, try J-Lo Beauty for 60 days. If you're not completely satisfied, just return the bottles, even if empty, and get your money back. Want that J-Lo glow? Head to jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls and get a special gift of 4 free masks for AGs. Head to jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls for 4 free masks and free shipping today. jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls. My life right now is so busy. I mean, have you been watching Orange County this season? If I was a Shan stan before, imagine what my day is like now. It does not leave a lot of time to, God forbid, make a meal from scratch. That's why I am so thankful for Cook Unity. Cook Unity helps with a variety of restaurant quality food from award-winning chefs delivered to your door straight to the office, all at a fraction of the cost and time you're spending now. Indian food brings me so much joy. It's one of my favorite things to eat. So thank goodness for Cook Unity, because I was able to enjoy chana masala thanks to Chef Lena. My favorite legume, as many of you know, is a beloved chickpea, so there is no better dish. Indian spices, chickpeas, sautéed cabbage and kale, coconut basmati rice, and even a vegan yogurt with fresh herbs. There's no cleanup or meal planning. Browse the menu by protein, chef, cuisine, or dietary need. You're sure to find food you'll love. Take a load off and let Cook Unity handle dinner. Affordable food crafted by award-winning chefs delivered to your door. Go to cookunity.com/andyscrolls or enter code andyscrolls before checkout for 50% off your first week. That's 50% off your first week by using code andyscrolls or going to cookunity.com/andyscrolls. And we are back. Just a couple of gals chatting in the cloth, except it's a Zoom, so never mind. So I would like to shift gears a little bit because we did watch the reunion last night, and I am curious for your thoughts on the cinematic experience. That was some sort of, like, I don't know, spiritual pay-per-view situation. I don't know. Pop-up video, whatever it was.
You know, they could have really kept that. I'm going to tell you. They could have really kept that. Let me tell you, I have been working on my production company, Comeback.tv Presents. And I felt wholly confident that I could have produced something better than what we saw. I mean, we are a professional company, of course. But when you think of Bravo, you think of there are tricks and tips and the cinematography. There's all these things that are happening. And the best you could do was have them sit down in a restaurant next to the train tracks to talk. And it was like, I know there were producers in the room, but I didn't feel like anything was really produced. Like, I wanted there to be, first of all, this was just a bad idea all the way around. Like, if you're gonna cancel or recast the show, just say that. Just say it. Because all this rigmarole, I mean, was just, it was just so underwhelming. Like, there's literally, I don't even know what to say about it, because there's like almost nothing to say. We saw what happened in the finale episode. And then to see them, like, it is so frustrating, so frustrating. And I have said, this is the only podcast I have ever said this on. After Ultimate Girls Trip, the first one, I was like, you asked me if I was a tree hugger or Gorgita Crunch. And I said, I'm going to have to say that after watching Ultimate Girls Trip, that I might be a tree hugger. And you were like, it took the... And we were just getting to know each other at that point. So I was like, oh, Lord, I'm never getting invited back. I didn't understand. And then as I was watching War, I was like, well, what happened to love, 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 light, bright, light, bright? I thought we were seeing this new evolution of Teresa. But that woman has a grip on the lack of reality like no one I have ever seen before. There is zero flexibility of thought. And just the way that she goes after, like, once she's decided that Marge is to blame and Jackie's dumbass, oh, I did not mean to call her.
Oh, no, that's the best thing you could say. That's a compliment. Of all the options, saying she's a dumbass is like, that's a gift.
Lord, I'm like, I'm not concerned about getting fired. We don't have a job after September 6th anyway. Okay. So, I mean, pitiful woman sitting next to you has told you that she is to blame for speaking with the ex, and you're just sitting there smiling, so gleeful, just needing to be right in that moment. And everything goes back to this one woman who's ruined your life, as opposed to just admitting that you are sleeping with your number one op. Girl, you think that you are the first woman or man who has this toxic ass relationship that everybody knows about, even your close friends, who I do have difficulty with because that's enabling AF, but who are sleeping with their number one ops. And all of a sudden, everyone and everything around you is coming for you. It's bad. It's detrimental. When really the source of all of your issues is sleeping right next to you. Right next to you. I hope it's good at night. I really do. I hope it keeps you. I hope that it's your 401k. I hope that it's your IRA. I hope that it takes care of you for the rest of your life. Because the penance that you have to pay for being sadiddy next to this man is going to be strong. It's going to be strong. And that's not just for her. That's for everybody who's trying to blame it on everybody else. It's your man. It's your man.
That was wonderful to watch. And I'm apologies that this is an audio only podcast, because that was a cinematic performance, number one. But number two, Teresa's problems of obliviousness, defensiveness, alternate reality did not start with Louis. It's just taken to me an unfortunate turn. Like, Teresa has always been like this. If you were a good enough sister, if you were a good enough brother, if you were a good enough child to our parents, if you were a good enough friend, it's always been a question of people in reference to Teresa, and like not just her needs, but an expectation that you would understand what she will desire in the future, what would be right for her is what is right for your dynamic. It's actually, no disrespect to Shannon, but it's
along a similar argument that Tamara has made, that her friendship with Shannon was not necessarily on Shannon's terms, but certainly not even when it comes to like a fair distribution of effort. And with Teresa, it's not exactly that, although if it was, it would be 100% Teresa and the other person not even at a zero, but at a deficit, having to prove themselves to Teresa to make that 100% that I think is firmly in her corner. But I don't begrudge Louis for being the entirety of the Teresa we now know, although I do think he's in large part responsible for who Teresa has become. But these like seeds of paranoia, of I think maybe obliviousness, a certain level of selfishness, certainly self-protection, we've seen in her since at least some point early on day one, maybe not day one, but like day seven, I think we had an understanding of some of this, and she's been rewarded for it many, many, many times.
Yeah, well, because that was the nature of, that was more the nature of reality TV than I feel like the era that we're in, at least when it comes to Housewives now. Now, of course, there's going to be places you could still, there's Zeus. There's, you know, places you could still, like, it's very much, you know, Jocelyn's Cabaret, like things like that. I can see there being, you know, that's ingrained in those types of, like, with that culture. And well, it's true. Like, that is what that is meant to be. And the reward is great for that. But I feel like there has been an effort to change the culture, at least at Bravo, especially in the past couple of years, it's pretty obvious. And that's why things like this really stand out. Like, it's just the throwing of the pictures, you know, wishing ill on people's children and other cast members. Things like that, it feels out of place in the culture that I feel like Bravo is kind of trying to curate at this juncture.
Yeah, it's interesting that they cut out the pitcher moment, which we all know about. I don't know what the point of that was, but you're including other moments like the suffering, wanting a child to suffer. Who are you protecting by removing the pitcher moment? I don't think they're trying to protect Danielle. They're trying to protect themselves. So if it's somebody doing something terrible and it doesn't necessarily reflect poorly on the network, except that it airs on the network, they're going to keep it. But if it's something that can be used under the auspices of a reality reckoning, they're maybe going to be a little bit more judicious, or talk about self-protective, a little bit more defensive around that kind of stuff, which I actually genuinely, it wasn't as much of a big deal that they cut it as I thought it was going to be, because I had no idea about the Jackie reveal, which I think it makes it more confusing why they did. It feels so strategic, which is an interesting choice considering what they have let pass through. Like, this is the line that's too much, is someone throwing a pitcher. And we're not advocating for physical violence, obviously. But what I'm saying is, you have allowed so much other terrible stuff to happen and not done seemingly a single fucking thing. So this is the line when it comes to plastic and or glassware, but not anything else. It's an interesting use of, what would the word be? It's an interesting use of accountability, I guess I would say. But it's not accountability, because it's not Danielle being held accountable. It's the network trying to protect itself.
Well, but then it begs the question, like, there's been so many decisions and non-decisions that have been made in this calendar year. The decision on Kenya Moore, the non-decision on Tom Sandoval. Like, there have been, I mean, certainly in past years, there's certainly been things that today probably would have been cut. They would have been cut like the pitcher. But it's hard to, yeah, it is hard. Like, we do need to know where that line is so that we can be judicious as an audience to be like, well, that clearly crossed it because Bravo doesn't stand for that. But it does feel like a bit of picking and choosing when there have been all of these other, you know, questionable, like, and when I say questionable, I mean as audience or as the Bravo community and the diversity of the Bravo community to say, well, you're going to have to explain to me why this decision was made when these decisions weren't. And no one's doing that.
Yeah. And there was so much that was like strange about last night's episode because it felt like an intentional way to kind of clear the room, but you're still airing an episode. So what is the point of that? Like, what's our takeaway from this? I don't think the takeaway was supposed to be, wow, that finale was really dramatic. You were better off with us feeling that way by not having this reunion alternate. The reunion alternate, I think, just raised the question for a lot of people of like, why didn't you just have a goddamn reunion? Why didn't you have a reunion and figure out a way to do it since it's probably not going to be possible to do maybe in the regular fashion, but that didn't stop you from conceiving this seemingly poorly done idea. So why are we left with that? It feels like almost a little bit of a, this is why the show needs to be rebooted because this is what you're going to get. And I just don't understand why that's a problem for the audience. We already know that the show is a little bit of a mess. You don't need to prove that to us by producing an episode that was at best ineffective.
Yeah, now I'm just thinking about it and it's just making me mad. Like, it's making me very, very annoyed because it was just a bunch of people who were going in to a room with their allies prepared to, regardless of what they saw, use that as evidence to further prove the point that they already had coming in to further strengthen that position. And for some people, it was more annoying than others. Like, I did appreciate Fessler saying to Danielle, when I saw it, obviously she pushed you first. So I apologize. Like, that's movement, you know, or when Rachel was saying that she said hello to Fessler. And then like there seemed to have been like some resolve there, like, okay, that's movement. Not that those were points that drove the season, because they weren't. But then, like, Dolores, okay, going to Marge after seeing the dog, I was like, okay. But then the way that she was kind of like teeter-tottering with Teresa, I appreciated her calling out Teresa or calling out Louie to Teresa, because it felt very personal when it came to Frankie Jr. But I didn't like the way that Teresa was like basically telling her to stop because she's making it worse. When Teresa actually said, you know, like, well, that's not what he meant or stop or whatever, she was trying to like temper Dolores's response. I'm not going to lie. It made me feel like, does she feel like there is a safety reason, or she knows that there is something that she doesn't want to deal with if Dolores doesn't back down? Like, that's what it made me feel like. And it was uncomfortable, because when you know people or have had people in your life who are in toxic relationships, if that's truly what this is, then going after the person who is creating all of this grief and toxicity falls on them before it falls on anyone else. So it's almost like if you're my friend, you're not going to escalate this situation. And that's what I felt like. I'm not saying that's what it is, but that is how it made me feel.
Oy. I mean, oy. Yeah, maybe controlling Teresa is easier than controlling Louis. I don't know. Just like in engaging someone with like understanding another point of view. I don't know. I'm not sure what to say to that. I think in watching Teresa's response, I was seeing a little bit more with her disinterest or misunderstanding of people's like personhood, which is someone can be upset when your husband is saying that he wants, not karma's gonna come around, which would also be problematic and terrible, but I want the child to suffer, that she takes that as a way of minimizing or excusing things that have happened to her family. She does not believe that anybody else is a whole person but her. Like, her kids are whole, she is whole, Louis's whole, so they're allowed to be complicated, maybe for Teresa and Louis problematic. They're allowed to be defensive and reactive, but nobody else is. And if you try to explain to her that people have the ability and, God forbid, the permission to be upset at her behavior or Louis, not only does it negate their entire experiences, but somehow it gives permission to it. Like, I try to understand Teresa's processing with some of it, but it is so deeply defensive that it's hard for me really to get there. Also because there are people who you might interact with, and maybe some of us are that person, where it's like you're initially defensive and it just takes you a second to settle. Like, for me, sometimes that's a matter of hours or minutes or whatever, where I say something I don't, or days, whatever it is, where I say something I don't understand another person's perspective because I feel like what they're saying is my feelings don't matter, whatever. I need a second to settle, and then I get there and then we have a conversation. Like, that absolutely happens. I'm not saying I'm like at the top point of always getting it at all times, because I'm a human person and we all have the right to fuck up. With Teresa, though, it's so much a part of her core that it's not even like a misunderstanding of empathy, but maybe a disinterest in it or an anger toward it. Like, how dare you have anger because my husband is saying he wants the child to suffer because my kids have suffered. It's like trying to understand the all wrong is okay, starting with my kids were wronged. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't know if any of this makes sense. It's wildly frustrating to watch. I wish I could say I was more curious about it, but I've seen this over so many years with Teresa that I just don't know how much curiosity I've got left.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I have some definite self-care non-negotiables. Number one, when temps go down, I need to have a daily stroll. Sometimes those walks are longer than on other days, but what's most important for me is getting outside. It's easy to let priorities slip, and that's where self-care comes in. And when you feel like you have no time for yourself, non-negotiables like therapy are more important than ever. I have been going to therapy since 2018, and there has been such a huge shift in my life ever since. It's the single best decision that I made for myself. It's helpful for me personally with positive coping skills, how to set boundaries with loved ones. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/AndySquirrels today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/AndySquirrels. Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build your own perfect clothes with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. I am so thankful to Armoire because I was in a genuine pickle last weekend. I was rushing to New Jersey, shout out NJ, the Garden State, not hunting for new housewives, but going to a friend's baby shower, and I had literally nothing to wear. So thank goodness for Armoire. I opened my bag from Armoire, grabbed this beautiful, bright lime green Sachin and Bobby midi dress, and it fit like a glove, and it saved me all of that extra stress. There are so many benefits to Armoire. You always have something new to wear without the hassle and closet clutter. It's sustainable. You no longer have to feel bad about only wearing an outfit once, and Armoire is women-founded and women-led. Right now, AGs can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/andyscrolls. That is armoire.style, armoire.style/andyscrolls to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. I started taking Hormone Harmony because when it's that time of the month, I truly do not feel like myself. Starting about a week and a half before, I get the wildest cravings, bloating, exhaustion like no other, and now it's easier than ever to manage PMS and menopause because of Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony supports hormonal balance and regulation, which for me is a biggie. It relieves symptoms of menopause, supports cortisol, estrogen, and progesterone levels, and improves sleep quality. Alexis and John's engagement is keeping me up at night, so thank goodness for Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndyScrolls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code AndyScrolls for 15% off today.
I do think it's interesting her response because it was so normalized to her. She was nearly blindsided by Dolo saying that wasn't okay. Like, she seemed shocked that Dolores clocked that and said it wasn't okay. And it took her, you could see her processing, like, well, why wouldn't it be okay? So, I mean, it's just, I understand what you're saying because I thought, like, how does she not know that that would be a problem? Because I would have been like, oh, Lord, like, nah, you got to cut that. You got to cut. That's not, you know, that is a dark, excited utterance. That's not what he meant. I would have been backtracking, like, but that wasn't even in the realm. It was very much like, well, yeah, because he was upset and because our family suffered. It's interesting. It's like, and they likely would have suffered that anyway, because this court case predated their relationship, didn't it?
Yeah.
Like, it hasn't been going on for like 3 years or something.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they've just celebrated their second anniversary. I don't remember when this was filmed. So
yeah,
but that's their second wedding anniversary. So I don't know. Obviously he has been dealing with legal matters and several different matters with this ex in particular over the course of several years. So Marge isn't.
Well, I did listen to the Bravo docket.
Oh.
All of the episodes.
Okay. So I, and shout out to the Bravo docket, I have not listened to those episodes yet, but tell me what you, I've heard and highly recommend that everybody listen to them. And I'm hoping to at some point in the near future, what was your takeaway from that?
Honestly, I was a little surprised because I had my ideas about Louis going in, and there was so much back and forth. The relationship seemed very equally toxic. It called into question for me things about Louis and his, I won't say intellectual, but maybe emotional state, that there seemed to have been manipulation happening. Like, the whole thing is so insane that you're gonna find yourself thinking, like, how does a grown, like, essentially there's all of these different almost contracts where he's agreeing to give her money, gifts, in contemplation of marriage. And she's reportedly or being accused of this emotional manipulation with her status as a mental health professional. And it just makes you wonder, what's going on emotionally or mentally there that two people ended up in this type of toxic spiral? And it is very much a toxic spiral. And it appears that no one came into this court case with clean hands. Mm-hmm. But because of that, it makes me even more nervous about what could potentially be happening behind the scenes at that home with him and Teresa, because she has some seemingly emotional issues and he has some seemingly emotional issues. And I it feels concerning. It feels concerning, but it wasn't as black and white as I thought it was going to be. I'll say that.
That's what I've heard from people, is that it's actually, it sounds like it was a pretty evenly matched, or maybe not even evenly matched, but like super, super, extremely uncomfortable, deeply, deeply toxic dynamic. And one could understand, noting that, why their house would be slightly up in arms at there being a legal matter between these two, because if you're Louis potentially in that relationship and you were in a very toxic relationship, one he participated in, but he wasn't the only one, I could understand why that relationship seemingly coming back or not being able to let go or whatever, that could be triggering to someone. But also, like, what have we worked through from this? Like, how have we processed this? Or are we just genuinely taking it with us for the ride? Like, at what point, I mean, I know the Warrior video of it all is its own thing, that seemed to be part of their toxic relationship, from my understanding, part of like him proving himself to her or something else.
I think that one might have been a different ex.
No. Oh God.
Because I know there's more than one ex. And I think the last one that they're referring to is Vanessa. Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, I'm pretty sure that the Warrior video predated Vanessa, because there was a part in it. And I mean, it's like three episodes long on Bravo docket. Check it out, because it'll, if you're interested, it, I mean, even if you're not interested,
just listen.
It
anyway.
Was interesting. Okay.
Yeah, like, love it. Love
you're
it.
Like, this is a ride I didn't know I was getting on. Okay. So they reference his coach from the Warrior camp And he was continuing to be his life coach. But I'm pretty sure that on the Bravo docket, they did make note that the original video wasn't with Vanessa. It was with the ex before.
Did you also hear this thing that is, to me, super unverified, that Jackie maybe met with more than one ex? Because Teresa said
I had not heard that.
Teresa said that on the after show. And I was like, where the fuck is she pulling out more than one ex? That doesn't make any sense. But then there's speculation that Jackie did, in fact, meet with more than one ex. I assume separately, because otherwise, God, what a tea party that was. That is a level of effort on Jackie's part that she is, wink, wink, not getting enough credit for. That I find interesting. I also, this is, I guess, the difference in joining reality TV and like embracing or agreeing to this kind of level of toxicity. You don't have to love Louis or like him or whatever to maybe not, or Teresa, to maybe not want to be a part of an environment that's toxic. Like my just like self-defense mechanism, and this is totally based on my opinion and my perception of their relationship, absolutely might not be based in any semblance of reality, completely own it. But from what they are saying to me, I don't think I would want to be a part of that landscape, because there's just a lot there that gives me like emotional hives. Like it just sounds like there's a lot there and I just would not want to participate in it. That's just not how I want to live my life. That's not an environment I would be comfortable being in. And we all have different personality types, and my personality type is like, I do not have any interest in any kind of like personal life drama in that way. It just wouldn't be me. Which isn't to say this might just be like a blip in their lives, and Louis has lasted for many, many years on many different levels. I just think about Jackie, and for someone who seemed so aware to be so happy about being a part of this journey to the extent that she is, like she seems to be, I hope for her that she's lying to herself. I don't know that she is. She, to me, certainly seems to be lying to Teresa. She's dancing with Teresa's reality view of events that like Marge is ultimately responsible for Jackie meeting with the exes. She was doing some interesting sleight of hand stuff in the non-reunion reunion episode that I found sort of curious, but also more depressing than that. So with Jackie, I'm just like, okay, so you're running toward the fire in this way. Why are you doing that?
Jackie drank the Kool-Aid. She drank the Kool-Aid. Jackie will go down as a prototype that I don't think she ever anticipated happening. And it is very sad. It's sad because she seemingly had real relationships and friendships to the point that you can in these situations. And there were alliances and loyalty that were built. And when someone decides to break from that and turncoat and turn tail to the other side, not anticipating it, think about this. Like if you've ever had this happen and have a friend like turn and betray you to someone who you have made it very clear means you harm, you would consider like your adversary, and they're going and they're sniffing up behind that person. Oh, that is all out war. That is all out war. I don't know what anybody else is, but I'm an Aquarius, and there are people who question their existence on this earth to this day, because we could be walking through the same tunnel and there would be only two of us and there'd be a 6 inches apart, and I would still make them feel and know that I did not see them, because that is so serious. What Jackie did is so serious. Like I talked about betrayal earlier. Betrayal is I take that very seriously. And she didn't even do it well. And here's the thing. Jackie found, she came in with some type of moral high ground, but Jackie is a snake in the grass opportunist. That's what she is. And she thought she was above it all, but she is not. And she made a whole ass of herself by deciding to part ways with her team, which has been her team. Basically, all she had to do was just stick with the people that she'd been sticking with. But that wasn't enough for her because she freaked out when she got demoted and people were acting like she was a non-factor. And so she came back thinking that she was going to get cool with the Queen Bee. And here's the thing about the Queen Bee being Teresa, is that Teresa and Louie also have a use for Jackie and Evan. Because another thing that I know about toxic relationships, they like to stick together. So it's the husband and the wife. Okay, I approve of this husband and this wife because I have control over this situation. We are holding the fame token. So they're always going to bow down and they're not going to question us. They're not going to do anything to rock the boat because they need us because we hold the fame. But you know what Jackie has? The real wealth. And they need that. They always, if you see these opportunistic relationships, there's always these like little tokens of what people bring to the table. So Jackie is a follower. Jackie is going to give her loyalty because she has no place else to go. And Jackie has money. And Teresa has the fame. She's the popular girl that Jackie always wanted to be right underneath. And this is her opportunity to do so. And she made a whole ass of herself to do it.
Here's my question. What happened with Jackie and Melissa? Like, I don't think I understand even a little bit where that friendship broke down, except, big except, that Jackie and Margaret's friendship broke down, which created a rupture in the friend group of Jackie, Margaret, Melissa. But like, what actually, technically, literally, specifically happened with Jackie and Melissa?
Melissa's not the HBIC. So when Jackie started thirsting for positioning, she wasn't going to get that through Melissa. And when she and Marge had a falling out, like, so now what are you going to do? Like, there's no position for Jackie there. She already alluded to the fact that once she was demoted, people stopped inviting her to stuff. And that made her feel some type of way. She felt like she was being ousted because she was no longer on the show. So this was her coming back with a vengeance. She just misplayed every single hand that she was dealt.
She misplayed every hand she was dealt looking back, but she almost got away with this. It only came down to Marge doing the thing she shouldn't have been doing, which was talking to Louie's ex. And that's how Marge found this stuff out. But Jackie, we would never have known this otherwise.
We wouldn't have known this, which was obviously a major bombshell, but we knew that she traded in her dignity for a couple of minutes on television. That was obvious from the beginning. I never wanted to see that. I honestly didn't. I didn't have any issues or thoughts about Jackie as a person or as a character, and if she has character. But that's the only thing I was pontificating about with Jackie. Like, girl, how much did you need this extra? I mean, count up all the minutes that she was actually on since she's been demoted. Was that worth you going down in history as one of the most pathetic housewives? Honestly. And it's all because of your it's not even your lack of loyalty to your team. It's your lack of loyalty to yourself. Like, you sold out for that. It's sad.
It is. I have to say, I have no empathy for her. I have a small amount of curiosity, but it feels genuinely so pathetic, and like she knows what she's doing, which makes it worse, I would argue. And there was something she said at the beginning of the episode that genuinely did make me laugh, because she was like, you know, I'm not going to talk trash about anybody. Like, I'm not going to talk shit about anyone. And I laughed because, number one, like, what would you have to say that wasn't a response or reaction to other people finding out that you betrayed them for years plus, that you watched and continue to now in real time, Teresa make her math into some sort of fucking number of Marge is the one who had the exes over, Melissa's the one who planned it, which Teresa is still doing to this day. She's saying that they used Jackie as a vessel. They were there for the meetings. They were all a part of this. Jackie was just dumb, in Teresa's words, to allow this to happen at her house. She says, Teresa talks around, she says that specifically on the after show, and I'm absolutely not using her exact language. She talks around it a little bit on the episode itself, and Jackie like co-signed some of it, I think at some points just to fill up dead air. But I just, to walk in there and be like, I'm going to sit in the room with Teresa and Jen Aiden and take the high road, so I'm not going to talk shit. Like, you, there would be, I cannot imagine what Jackie could be upset about. Number one, like, we can't go back into like the baseball era. That's ridiculous. The book, nobody cares. And number two, what you have done to these people by pretending to be their good friend, i.e. Marge and Melissa, knowing this information and allowing them to be in the point of fire to cover your own ass, like, for no one cares what you say about them. Your voice matters so little at this point. You are such an insignificant part of this world. I'm watching someone extinguish herself. But also, what on earth could you imagine being upset at these other people for? Like, literally, exact, specifically what? What have these people done to you that's worse than what you have done to yourself and also to them? I literally, I'm not joking. I'm not like putting a philosophical question into the world. I want to know literally what it was.
Yeah, sometimes it's in situations like this, I think that people have to craft a narrative in order to get what they want. You mentioned the book. I've questioned what her publisher said to her about the timing of that book and when she got ousted from the show. Did she need to get back on the show in order to promote that book? Because I'm really questioning if that might have played a role in what was her way of scheming so that she could get back on the show to talk about the book. Because didn't she get ousted before the book came out? Wasn't it like in that in-between stage?
Yeah, she had already filmed this season, and I might be fucking this up, so I apologize. I think she had already filmed this season before the book came out, because she was here in the Clawfist. She had her, the mm-hmm. book publicist, who was lovely, who also I think handles Heather Gay's stuff, who, and Heather Gay has sold like every book in the entire universe. She's like fucking killing it as an author. So if I'm remembering correctly, Jackie was here. It was before the season had premiered at some point in, I don't even know that it was 2024. I think it might have been at some point in 2023. It was when the book came out. She had already filmed the season, and there had been gossip that she and Marge had fallen out. So I had asked her during the episode, like at the tail end, because it really was focused on the book, like, what's going on with you and Marge? And she didn't give a straight answer, not that I expected one, because obviously it's going to be a part of the upcoming season. But I was confused about the Melissa of it all, because I had heard that there was some fallout with her and Melissa. And this is for AGs. AGs will have a better memory of it than I will, because I don't remember what I did yesterday, let alone like what I've said on these podcasts. I don't remember exactly her answer. I think it was more of like a wink, wink. But after we stopped recording, she like took out her phone to be like, you know, Melissa is the last person I texted. Unless I'm getting this wrong, and it was Melissa that she had an issue. No, it was Marge. And she, I think Melissa was like one of the last people that she had texted. So I don't understand if you film this season. I must be getting the timeline wrong. Now that I'm saying this out loud, it does not make sense for them to have finished filming the season and for her to still be talking to Melissa. Like, that does not make sense based on what we watched during the finale. So I have to be fucking this up in some way. I genuinely do.
But we did know when she was on her press tour, we knew that she wasn't a full-time housewife.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When she was on the press tour.
100%.
So that meant that there was not going to be some huge book launch party. Like all the promotion that a housewife would generally get for a book launch, she wasn't receiving. Mm. So I feel like my question is, are her actions and her scraping, you know, to try to get as much exposure and camera time and switching teams and doing all of this stuff, was that a part of her trying to scrounge up time to promote the book? Because clearly she was very disappointed that she wasn't a New York Times bestseller. And then that whole thing about her talking to one of Teresa's daughters saying, oh, everyone wants to know about me and your mom. Like, it seemed like promotion was very much on her mind. Like, if I had to come up with, what do they say? Like, the path of least resistance generally is the truth or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, if you're trying to explain less, then that's likely closer to the truth. And my original thought was, is she doing this so that she can get more promotion and more time on the book?
Is she switching
teams, creating drama, like all of that? Because clearly the feedback was that her relationship with Teresa was the number one thing anybody wanted to talk about. She said that to Teresa's daughters. And then when they asked her how the book was doing, she was talking about how, you know, apparently it's very hard to be a New York Times bestseller. And then she was talking about having to promote the book and who she sent the book to. And we got that in all of like maybe 1 to 2 episodes. But it made me question, like, are you doing all this so that you have a reason to be on camera in hopes that it sells the book?
I don't know if that is what happened. I don't begrudge her for that, because people have done similar over everything. It's the Bethany having skinny girl apparel and shaking her glass of margarita when she's trying to tell Lou that Tom stepped out. She's like very dramatically reaching for her skinny girl marg because it's a branding opportunity. Like, it doesn't mean she wasn't also nervous and upset, but she also understood the glory and potential involved in reality TV. I do also have to say, I just did a little Google because I'm really stuck on the timing here. And according to Wikipedia, which could 100% be wrong, filming for the 14th season began in August 2023 and concluded in October 2023, excepting obviously for this special. And she came on in September of 2023, came on Andy's Girls then. So I guess the finale hadn't happened. That absolutely makes sense to me. There's no way. Not that I would have any kind of idea that something had happened. I would have had much less than zero. This was incredibly unexpected to many of us, to most of us, the vast majority of us, if not everybody. So that makes sense why she would be like interacting with Melissa to that point, even though I don't know really at what point in their relationship they had been. I don't even really know what I'm asking at this point, because it's just so, I'm not trying to go by Jackie's logic because it's obviously flawed. It's just, it's wild. And I'm sure that she and Teresa are now good friends. Like, I'm not making a joke when I say that.
You think so?
100%. Jackie's the best kind of friend. She's not going to contest or object to anything that Teresa is going to say. They don't have to talk about anything serious because their relationship is based in the exact opposite. They now seemingly both dislike Marge, so that's something to bond over. And Jackie is never going to test her. Teresa does not want to be tested, number one, certainly by an outsider, number two, And number three, absolutely not by somebody who's been in her life for 6 seconds. I mean, she's known Dolo since the mid-1800s. And look at how she responded when Dolores is like, maybe we don't want kids to feel bad or whatever. Like, Teresa lost her goddamn mind. So I think they go to dinner. Jackie said as much multiple times. She keeps posting like onward and upward shit with Teresa, which is, again, you know, she's going to get exactly what she wants, which is probably a pretty easy friendship right now. I don't know if it will always remain that way, but I also don't know how easy Jackie is. That has to be somewhat tough to be in a relationship with Jackie because she doesn't have a spine. I don't know how she sits down.
There are so many moments that make up a year. The big moments and milestones, birthdays, anniversaries, when Shan came to the Clawfist. And then there are the small moments, the slow morning spent making a decadent breakfast, running to a grocery store to get 9 lemons to put in a bowl. All of these moments come together to create our year and in the end, create our life. Artifact Uprising wants to help you preserve your meaningful moments this holiday season. Whether you want to say, I love you with the perfect gift, display favorite memories in your home, or connect with loved ones throughout the year, BCC Shan, they have a product you can personalize. Artifact Uprising is a Colorado-based company that creates premium quality, customizable photo goods for your digital photos. I just ordered a few photo books with Artifact Uprising, a hardcover travel photo book in this gorge shade of Pacific blue, which is perfect for the credenza in my living room, devoted to my first ever trip to Paris, and a photo book in midnight blue, one for myself and for my family. Moments from my childhood, my parents spending time together, it is going to be the perfect gift for Tobes and Chard. This is something incredibly special that will keep us connected. Artifact Uprising makes it easy to tell your story. Through the end of the year, AGs can give Artifact Uprising a try and get 20% off for new customers or 15% off if you've purchased before. Just visit artifactuprising.com and use code AndySCrolls through December 31. Ever feel like you're too busy watching a beloved Bravo marathon to eat healthy? Meal kits from Sunbasket are the perfect solution, like spicy chicken tinga tacos with black beans and pico de gallo, which I got to make and enjoy this week. I was able to swap in a vegan substitute for the chicken and had one of those dishes I will remember. Unlike Padmalakshmi, I am not a top chef. Sunbasket is so easy. It comes with super easy to follow directions. And if I can do it and love doing it in the people's kitchen, so can you. Sunbasket makes it easy and convenient to cook healthy, delicious meals at home. Try it for 4 weeks and see how your clean eating can change the way you feel. And Sunbasket can fit my lifestyle and many more, including Mediterranean, carb conscious, vegetarian, keto-friendly, gluten-free, diabetes-friendly, and more. And as I did, it's super easy to customize recipes to meet your exact needs. I don't feel constricted by looking at vegan or vegetarian only. Sunbasket makes it possible to eat your best your way. You can swap red meat for chicken or turkey, or like me, swap in a vegan protein. Plus, Sunbasket offers pre-made meals, delicious single-serving meals that are ready to eat in less than 5 minutes, which is just around a commercial break from RHOC. There's something for every health journey, mine included, and every busy lifestyle. It's easy to use Sunbasket to achieve your kind of healthy. Go to sunbasket.com/AndySCrolls today to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/AndySCrolls to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. There are so many fall rituals I'm so excited to get back into, like seeing which $50,000 ring Lisa Barlow is going to lose next. And of course, there's one ritual that deserves to be added back to your fall priorities in addition to Salt Lake: daily hydration and energy from Liquid IV. Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier and Energy delivers 100 milligrams of natural caffeine plus 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, so you can accomplish all the things you want and need to do, minus getting Monica back to the cast.
I focus every day on making sure I have enough electrolytes. When I wake up and before I go to sleep at night, I am making sure that my electrolytes are on the up and up so that I can stay there too. And also at the end of the night, when I'm looking for a little SGKK, I add Liquid IV to seltzer and I have a little bit of a seltzer spritz. For me, faster hydration is not just about workouts. It's about ensuring that my quality of life is good. It's an all-in-one formula that provides mind and body energy plus hydration that leaves you feeling focused, alert, and ready to take on anything. Tear, pour, live more. One stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. Powered by Live Hydroscience, an optimized ratio of electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients that turn ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. That's three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink. With 8 essential vitamins and nutrients. It's always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Start a new fall ritual with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code Andy at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code Andy at liquidiv.com.
I understand your logic if this was happening in a vacuum, because what we haven't taken into consideration is exactly what Jennifer Aiden, how her response was, and how Dolores's initial response was too. Dolores don't even mess with Jackie. So, and she made that very clear. Jennifer Aiden is looking at Teresa like, you're going to let that slide. But what we didn't take into consideration are the daughters. Because if someone did something like that to my mama, she don't get to come back in the family household. So I think all of the relationship stuff is probably being done for appearances until this fades and there's another big scandal and something else is happening on Bravo. But I don't think that they're, at least for on Teresa's side, I don't think she's really friends with Jackie.
See, I think that they are. And also Teresa says, which is an admission that I think is only really being made because the larger issue here is how bad Marge is. Teresa does say, I understand why she did it, why she had an ex or a couple exes over because of what I did to her and Evan, which is a surprising and positive admission, accountability response from Teresa. I don't know if we would have seen that had Marge not been the Antichrist, because Teresa's only admitting to that to build to the, you know, Jackie did it, but also she didn't really because she was being manipulated by Marge, and Marge did it too, but also she's worse. So it's like I want to give Teresa credit because I actually was surprised at her saying it like not once but twice on the after show and on this non-reunion reunion. I don't know. I don't know. I think everybody is kind of okay right now with the current sort of present tense here. I don't know how invested the kids are, nor do I really want to speculate on how they're feeling about like Jackie's behavior versus it being connected to Marge's. I think Jen is okay taking one for the team here because she has her own, you know, enemy to duel, Danielle. And I think for Teresa, it's not just about Marge. I do think that there's a Rachel component here too, and obviously Melissa. So if they can connect this all together, so that it continues the idea that ultimately the worst people in the world are like Melissa and Marge. Why not? Why not have somebody else who might, as Teresa said, like might also have information?
Yeah, I think that obviously this is a relationship of convenience and opportunity. And I think that it's going to fizzle quite fast on Teresa's end. I think right now it's great to keep up with appearances and to make people feel like more information could be coming out, perhaps put Marge on her hind legs, like, well, I don't know what they're saying about me, like all of this. But ultimately, like, it's just, I get the rationale, I get all of those things, But at the end of the day, a snake only sheds its skin to become a bigger snake. And I think there's been a lot of snakes. And I think that if Teresa's not feeling that way and peeping that, people in her circle are. And so, I don't know if that's going to last for very long. And I think that it's just going to have Jackie completely ass out.
Yeah, but I think Teresa's looking at Jackie and being like, you're not a snake, you're a potato. So, like, what does it even matter? Like, it doesn't matter how big of a snake Jackie is. It doesn't matter because Teresa's perception of her is not going to change. She doesn't want it to, so it won't. It doesn't need to match up. I think Teresa lives in a vacuum regardless of whether or not she's in reality TV. And maybe that's the best thing for her. Like, genuinely, I'm really not trying. I have to always communicate when I'm not trying to be a dick because sometimes it can be difficult to tell. But, you know, it is what it is. It's just, I don't know. There's just something so cringe about watching Jackie try not to breathe when she's rewatching parts of this ep. And also, I get into this on another Andy's Girls, but, you know, there were some creative decisions that were, to me, completely ludicrous. Number one, we've all seen the finale before, so making the majority of the screen the finale episode that we've seen and the smallest box be the commentary of the actual cast, which is the reason for this episode, is so wildly ridiculous. And I don't know who made that choice, but it was, to me, the wrong one. And also, when you're getting to the Jackie reveal, first off, we didn't get the full walk of her shitting her pants, which I am a conspiracy theorist and actually do think something was going on there because I don't wear pants. So I don't know how you walk in pants and stilettos. And also, I do tumble on occasion, meaning most times that I am wearing my Manolos. So, you know, I don't know. That might just be how she moves. But there was something there to what Dola was saying about the diaper where I was like, oh, this might actually track with something happening. But not having that full moment of Jackie leaving the restaurant was a real missed opportunity when it comes to commentary. Even if it just furthered humiliate her, it was sort of an LOL to the ep. But also when it comes to the reveal itself, the like meat and potatoes of the episode, they really didn't even focus the edit on Jackie's face. They were still looking at other people's reactions to this thing that we all knew took place. So why not, for Jackie's one moment in the sun, why not focus more on her? Because that's, to me, at least interesting to watch someone try not to breathe because they're just so afraid that it's going to be, because they're just perfectly fine. No one needs to wonder if they're nervous because they're doing great. Like, why not focus it on that? But also, the screen is so fucking small that maybe it didn't matter. It just was... I don't know. Was it worse than I was thinking? I don't even know. I'm done. If you're changing the cast, you got to change some of the team making some of these choices, because I don't know who that is starting or ending with, but it's not just the cast who are not doing a good job.
Yeah, I feel like everyone came into the season feeling like this was going to be the last as we know it. And it's probably a bit of senioritis all around.
Yeah, but you still have to like fucking graduate. It's like having senioritis and them saying, aside from the COVID era, which is unfortunately, I can't even imagine, but you don't really get your diploma emailed to you. So what the fuck are we even doing? Like, at one point or another, most people are gonna, when you graduate, walk across the stage. So why get rid of the stage and say, just take our word for it, you graduated? It just... Or graduating doesn't matter anymore. Well, then why was I failing science class? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I'm not quite sure. What all of this was, but it was something. And I think people are going to continue to talk about it. And the only other thing I would say to this before we wrap, oh my God, this 19-hour episode, I'm so sorry, is like, people are going to be speculating about casting. And if that brings you joy in your life, and God bless you for it, do it. You know, we talk on the pod, who do you think is going to be back? Who do you not? Whatever. It's essentially Real Housewives of New Jersey Dungeons and Dragons. Like, you can take whatever little adventure and write yourself a fun little like duel with the monster or whatever actually happens in that you want. But if you're reading creators or Instagram or whatever that says like so-and-so is definitely back and that's happening in August of 2024, just know that that is an imaginary universe. That's not real stuff. If it becomes real, it's not going to be because this person said it was. It's going to happen because that's essentially a game of luck. Like if I say so-and-so is leaving, I have a percentage chance that that will become true, but that doesn't mean that that's actually what's taking place. So when like people send me posts and they're like, oh, Teresa's staying and that picture that we found on the floor is going to friend up, that doesn't mean that that's happening. That just means that someone's playing an imaginary game. So just something, I don't know, maybe to keep in mind. Listen, Erica Cobb, we have talked for just a couple minutes. You know, it's my favorite thing to do. Can you tell the AGs a little bit about your upcoming live show, which I know I referenced at the beginning of the episode, but I do just want to talk about it one more time?
Yes, thank you. Thank you for having me. So I've been the host of, or one of the hosts of Daily Blast Live for the past 7 years, and the OG crew, the five hosts, the originals, will be doing a live podcast event, and we are inviting you to purchase a virtual ticket. Take a moment. It's on Thursday, August 22nd. You can watch it video on demand for a week following the event. It's only $10 and you can get it at moment.co/comebacktv. So you can ask us questions. We have a live audience who's physically there with us, but we're also taking questions from the virtual audience as well. So please join us on Thursday, August 22nd.
I love that. And, you know, I love Moment. I've done a couple AG Lives with Moment. They do such good work. Like the tech is spot on. They have a great team over there at Moment HQ. And I love that you can get those tickets on demand. So it's not a matter of joining live if you're not able to. You have that week to watch, which for me, I'm someone who like my schedule is sometimes all over the place. Am I going to be in the living room today or maybe the cloth? Like there's just a lot going on. So I really do appreciate that there's that flexibility with watching because I think that's a lot of fun. And we want to support our creators. We want to support our AG guests. So I highly recommend that people join that night or in the 7 days following. And it's a $10 ticket. It's a delightful summertime spritz. Speaking of fun drinks of knowledge, there's a two-hour long Patreon Satchel Spectacular up now. Heavy, heavy focus on past, present, and future of New Jersey, featuring nearly 20 satchels of gold, listener thoughts and feels, questions and concerns, named in honor of Her Holiness Kelly Clorne Bensimone from Scary Island. And we really get into a lot of nitty gritty, a lot of different thoughts and feels, and it was a joy to unpack. So you can listen to that two-part, two-hour-long double episode on the AG page, number one way to support the pod, at patreon.com/andysgirls. Erica Cobb, thanks again for coming back.
Dame, thank you so much for having me. And I'm having a little bit of a shift, so follow me on all social media platforms at Erica Cobb, please.
We love a shift. We love just a little shift. We love, it's the season of shifting, and that doesn't sound weird at all. So there we are. Thanks to all of you for listening and shifting along with us. And we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.